This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم اهد قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي. آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we will continue with our study of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most beautiful, the most excellent names of Allah, Al-Asma'ul Husna. And today, inshallah, we will begin with the names Al-Kareem and Al-Akram. Al-Kareem, the most, the noble, Al-Akram, the most noble. These names, both of them, we see that they occur in the Quran. Al-Kareem occurs three times and Al-Akram occurs once in the Book of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal insanu ma gharraka bi rabbika al-kareem. O mankind, what has deceived you concerning your Lord, the generous? And we see that in the first revelation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِقْرَأْ وَرَبُّكَ الْأَكْرَمُ. Recite, and your Lord is the most kareem, meaning the most generous. Now, when we look at the names, al-kareem, al-akram, we can see that these names are from the word karam. And karam, which is generally translated as nobility or generosity, basically the word karam has three connotations. The first connotation is that karam means nobility and excellence. It is basically sharaf fi shay'i fi nafsihi aw fi khuluqihi. It is the nobility, the excellence, the dignity and worth that is in something. So basically, kareem is what is in and of itself noble, excellent, highly esteemed, valued, and karam is also in the nature of something. So it is when something is in and of itself very noble and worthy, and also its nature is very noble. And we see that in the Arabic language, rajulun kareem, a man who is kareem, or a faras, a horse that is kareem, is basically that which is of great worth, or a person who is highly esteemed. And we see that when it comes to the property of people, kara'imul mal refers to that property of a person which is highly valuable or precious to a person. So, and we learn that the Queen of Sheba, she said about the letter of Sulaiman alayhi salam that kitabun kareem, a very noble letter has been delivered to me. So kareem, in essence, is that which is highly esteemed or prized, that which is excellent, very respectable. And we see that the Arabs used to call the grapevine karam. Why? Because for them, someone who drank alcohol, yani all of a sudden they were very noble. Why? Because it was only the wealthy who could afford it. And also when they would be drunk, they would give of their wealth in charity, which they would not give otherwise. So they considered the drinking of alcohol to be very noble. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La tusammu al-inab al-karum." Do not call the grapevines karum. Why? Because فَإِنَّ الْكَرْمَ الرَّجُلُ الْمُسْلِمُ. Because true nobility is actually in a Muslim. Or in another narration we learn that فَإِنَّمَا الْكَرْمُ قَلْبُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. That true honor and dignity and worth is actually in the heart of the believer. True dignity is in the heart of the believer. So the first meaning of the word karam is dignity, honor, respect, high status, worth. This is the first meaning. Secondly, the word karam also means as-sakha or generosity, to be generous in giving. So for example, it is said karumat arduhu, that so-and-so's land was karumat. Karumat meaning it was very fertile, so its produce was a lot. It yielded a lot of produce, so it was very productive. And from this, karuma sahab is when clouds bring a lot of rain. So karum is also generosity. It is the ability to give very easily and to give a lot without feeling any difficulty. We see that sometimes, we want to be generous, but it is very hard to be generous. We find it very difficult to share what we have or to give of what we have. That is not karam. Karam is to be able to give easily, lavishly, generously, without any difficulty. And then we see that karam, thirdly, also means to pardon and to forgive. So Imam al-Qurtubi says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Kareem, meaning that He is ever generous. So His generosity is abundant. He is ever pardoning. So He forgives and He overlooks His slaves even when they commit sin, and He continues to bless them with different things. And He is Kareem, meaning He is Al-Aziz. He is Almighty, He is noble, He is perfect, He is excellent. So these are the three meanings of the name Al-Kareem. Now when we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not just Al-Kareem, but also Al-Akram. What does Akram mean? Akram means that He is the most noble, the most generous, the most pardoning. Meaning that there is no one whose generosity, whose nobility could ever come close to the generosity, the nobility of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is Al-Akramul Akrameen, the most noble of all who are noble. And His Karam is beyond our imagination even. He is more generous than we could ever imagine. He is more noble than we could even comprehend. So He is Al-Kareem and also Al-Akram. And then we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's karam is not just in His being, but also in His actions. Meaning He is in and of Himself very noble, and He is also very noble or very generous in His actions. Look at the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. We see that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, He gives without expecting a return. Yani when we give a gift to someone or we spend on someone, we expect that they will pay us back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not expect that His creation will pay Him back. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, that لا أريد منهم, that I do not want from them that they should feed me or that they should give me anything. Rather, it is Allah who is al-Razzaq, who is the provider of all. So He gives without expecting a compensation or a return. And we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives, He's so generous that He gives even without a reason. And He gives without needing anything. And He gives and He likes that His favors and gifts are accepted by His slaves and used by His slaves. And He gives before even He is asked. And He gives to all. And He gives to His servants. And then when they do a little good, then He also appreciates them. SubhanAllah. We learned that once Junaid, the ascetic, he heard someone saying, he heard someone reciting the ayah about Ayyub alayhi salam, that inna wajadnahu sabira ni'mal 'abd, that indeed we found him to be patient. What an excellent slave he was. So Junaid said, SubhanAllah, glory be to Allah, He gives and then He also praises His slaves. Meaning no one can be patient without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without the tawfiq of Allah. So they were only able to be patient by the gift of Allah. And when they were patient, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises them. He appreciates them. So this is His generosity. This is His karam. And it is from His karam that He pardons, even though He can punish. It is from His karam that when He promises His slaves something, then He fulfills those promises. It is from His karam that He continues to grant favors to His slaves. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Kareem, Al-Akram, what is it that we are supposed to do? It means that first of all, we should only think good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is Al-Kareem. He is good, He is excellent, He is noble in all of His characteristics, in all of His actions, He is generous. So let us think only good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Kareem, He has been generous to you. This means that His generosity should be visible on you. It should be visible on us. We learned that once a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the state of that man was not really, that presentable. Meaning, his hair was messy. His clothes were not, all that clean and in a good state. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him that, "Do you have any wealth? Do you own any property?" And the man began listing the different types of property that he owned. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when Allah has given you wealth, then the effect of His blessing should be visible on you. And the effect of His karama, meaning the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored you, that should be visible on you. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been generous towards you, He has treated you with dignity, then let that dignity and that generosity, that blessing of Allah, be visible on you. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Kareem, this also means that we should ask Him, because He is so generous. He loves to give. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيِّيٌ كَرِيمٌ, that indeed Allah is Hayy, He is shy, and He is Kareemun, very generous, very noble. يَسْتَحِي, He feels shy, that when a slave of His raises his hands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should return them empty-handed, meaning He would not do that. So ask Him, because He is very generous. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Kareem, it means that we should also be generous, and we should also be forgiving. Because we learn in a hadith that إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَرِيمٌ يُحِبُّ الْكُرَمَاءِ, that indeed Allah is Kareem, He is generous or pardoning, and He loves those who are kurama, meaning the people who are also generous and forgiving. So be generous and forgiving towards the people who are around you. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Kareem, and He has treated us with dignity, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ, we have certainly honored the children of Adam, then this means that we should show respect and courtesy and dignity to one another. And especially people who have certain privileges, or whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a certain status to, whether we like that or not, still be accepting of it, and also treat people with the dignity that they deserve. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا أَتَاكُمْ كَرِيمُ قَوْمٍ فَأَكْرِمُوهُ, that when the noble or the respectable of a certain nation come to you, then treat them with honor. Meaning, when someone who is treated with a lot of dignity in their home, in their country, in their community, in their people, when they come to visit you, then even though they don't have that status in your people, in your community, you should still treat them with respect and dignity. And we also learn, especially when it comes to guests, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever believes in Allah and the last day, then he should honor his guest. فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ, he should treat his guest with generosity, with forgiveness, and also with nobility, meaning in a good way. In another hadith, we learn, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ جَارَهُ, that whoever believes in Allah in the last day, then he should treat his neighbor with respect and dignity. So whether it is people that you come across, in your workplace, or people who are coming to visit you, or people who live next to you, whatever the case is, treat people with respect and dignity that they deserve. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Kareem, and He has treated us with dignity, and He has sent His dignified, His noble book to us, this means that we should also honor His book. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ, that indeed this is a noble Qur'an. This is a very respectable book. So treat it with respect. And respecting the book of Allah doesn't just mean that we, put it on the highest shelf possible and we never touch it. Or that if we are even to look at it, we blow kisses.
or that if we were to pick it up, we kiss it. Yani, okay, that is part of respecting it, but not the ultimate way or the way that has been required of us. The way that we are supposed to treat this book with respect is that we put it, first of all, we handle it with respect, meaning that we don't put other things on top of it. We don't put it on the floor, because we see that once when the Torah was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he put it on a pillow. So if that is what he did with the Torah, then what do you think we should do with the Quran? You know, sometimes we say that, oh, I've been to the Haram, I've been to the Masjid al-Nabawi, and I've seen people putting the Mushaf on the floor. So, you know, this is our culture. No, this is the example that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam set for us, that we treat the Book of Allah with dignity. And that means that we don't put it on the floor. Rather, we put it on a pillow or a table or something like that. Don't treat it like any other book. And this also means that we don't put other things on top of it. And part of treating the Book of Allah with respect is that we don't ignore it. Meaning, it shouldn't be the case that days go by and we have not opened it up. We have not recited it. And this means that, and this also means that when we recite it, then let us recite it with respect. Yani, don't read it as if it were, like one of the companions compared, someone's recitation as throwing cheap dates away. You know, like, oh, these dates are, you know, unworthy, they don't matter at all, they're useless, so you just cast them aside. So don't rush through the recitation of the Quran, you know, treating certain words or letters as if they were unimportant, that you, don't recite them properly. Rather, when you recite, then give each letter its due. Give each letter its haqq, yani, every single letter and sound should be distinct. It should be beautified. And also part of respect is that when we are trying to memorize the Quran, when we're trying to learn the Quran, when we're trying to comprehend its meanings, when we're trying to study it, then let us not get frustrated. You know, don't show that annoyance that, oh my God, I've been reciting for so long, I still don't get it. I've been trying to understand for so long. I've been trying to memorize for so long. And you don't get exasperated. Don't show your frustration with the Book of Allah. This is the Book of Allah. This is a book that is dignified. This is the Book of Al-Kareem. So treat it with respect. And of course, part of that respect also is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the gift of the Quran, then treat yourself with honor and dignity. Don't allow yourself to say things that are inappropriate, to do things which are unbefitting, to look at things or to listen to things which are unbefitting. When Allah has honored you with the Quran, then treat yourself with that honor and dignity. And this also means that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a person the gift of his book, then we should also treat them with respect. So for example, if it's your own child who is memorizing the Quran or who has memorized the Quran, then treat them with respect. Yani, don't belittle them and do not hit them and do not scold them and do not treat them as if they are of no worth whatsoever. No, part of honoring the Book of Allah is to honor the people of the Quran, even if those people are your own children. Even if they are your own students or people who are younger than you, if Allah has honored them with the Quran, then you treat them with the karam that they deserve. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-kareem, al-akram, this also means that we should not take his generosity and favor and his kind treatment of us for granted. We should not take it for granted. We should realize that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is generous to us in any way, this is also a test for us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا. That as for the human being, as for people, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests him, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests a person, ibtalahu, and then fa'akramahu, how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala test him? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors him. How? With a status, with a position, with some kind of success. Wana'amahu, and he gives him a certain blessing, whether it is of wealth or of children or of, you know, a status or, you know, some kind of success, then the person says, فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا. He says, yes, my Lord has treated me with a lot of honor. And yes, this is something that we should acknowledge, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with His generosity. But we shouldn't get lost in that blessing. We should realize that that blessing is also a trial. It is also a test of what? Of our patience, of our gratitude, of remembering, the fact that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us His favor. And we should not forget Him after He has blessed us. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-kareem, al-akram, this also means that we should seek the real karam, the real dignity that He will give to His slaves in the hereafter, and also in this world. And how is it that a person receives that dignity? It is through iman, through belief, and through righteous deeds. You see, we seek honor and dignity, how? Through worldly things. We think that if we have worldly things, you know, if we get into a certain program, if we have a certain job, if we have a certain title, if we have a certain number of, you know, followers, etc., only then we are worthy. But this is not the measure of worth that is near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He gives to everybody, those who believe in Him and also those who don't, those who are obedient and also those who are disobedient. Real worth, real status is of who? Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. It is those who have taqwa of Allah, those who live with the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the believers in Surah Al-Anfal, ayah 4, and He says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّا لَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ. He describes the believers and then He says, those are the people who truly believe, and for them will be high ranks near their Lord and forgiveness and rizqun kareem, a kareem provision. Kareem as in generous and kareem as in noble, that will truly make them honorable. So that is the real provision that we should be seeking, the real reward that we should be seeking, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admits us into paradise, mudkhalan kareema, in a noble way, and that He blesses us with the most noble provision, because He is al-kareem and al-akram. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-kareem, al-akram, how can we call upon Him with these names? We see that first of all, the dua which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Aisha radiallahu anha to say on Laylatul Qadr. And that dua is, Allahumma innaka afuwun kareemun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. In one narration, it is just, Allahumma innaka afuwun tuhibbul afwa. And in another narration, it is, Allahumma innaka afuwun kareemun tuhibbul afwa. And what does this mean? That, oh Allah, indeed You are afu. You are ever forgiving. You are ever pardoning. You are kareem. You are very generous. Tuhibbul afwa. You love to pardon. And remember that one of the meanings of kareem is ever pardoning. So You love to forgive, therefore forgive me. Now of course this is a dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught that we should say on Laylatul Qadr, but it doesn't mean that we should only say it at that time. You can also say it at other times when you're seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allahumma innaka afuwun kareem. That Ya Allah, I know I am sinful, but You are kareem. You are so noble. You love to forgive. You are so generous. So please forgive me. And then we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's been reported from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, to say this particular dua in Sa'i also. Sa'i meaning the ritual that we perform in Umrah, in Hajj, which is to go between Safa and Marwa. And what is this dua? This dua is, Allahumma ghafir warham wa antal a'azzul akram. That, O Allah, forgive and have mercy, and You are al-a'azz, the most mighty, and You are al-akram, the most honorable, the most generous, the most forgiving. Allahumma ghafir warham wa antal a'azzul akram. And this is also a dua that you can say when you really feel the might of Allah. You see, there are times when we feel extremely weak, when we feel that we have nothing in our control. Think about how Hajar went between Safa and Marwa. And she had no control over her situation. She needed water. She needed food, but she couldn't find any. She was going back and forth, doing the best that she could. But at the end, the results were entirely in the hand of Allah. And sometimes we also feel like that, where we have, for example, done our best. We have gone to the experts that we know. We have done whatever that was within our capacity. We have gone through the treatments. We have taken the medication. We have, studied, our best. We have done the best that we could. But then the results are in the hand of Allah. So at that time, when you truly feel your weakness, your neediness, then call upon Allah. Allahumma ghafir warham. O Allah, forgive, have mercy. Wa antal a'azzul akram. And you are the most mighty, the most honorable. And I am in need of your generosity. And then we see that when someone has passed away, then we learn that even for the deceased, we should make dua. Allahumma ghafir lahu warhamhu wa afihi wa'fu anhu wa akrim nuzulahu. It's a long dua, part of which is that the deceased person, O Allah, forgive him, have mercy on him, pardon him, overlook his mistakes, protect him, wa akrim nuzulahu, and make his arrival into the next world honorable. Akrim, because O Allah, you are Kareem, and you are the one who honors his slaves, so you treat the slave of yours with honor and dignity. Welcome him into the next world, into his next home, with dignity and honor, because you are Al-Kareem Al-Akram. So these were the names of Allah, Al-Kareem Al-Akram. Now we will look at the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Jameel. Al-Jameel, the extremely beautiful. The name of Allah, Al-Jameel, only occurs in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allaha Jamilun yuhibbul Jamal," that indeed Allah is beautiful, and He loves beauty. He loves that which is beautiful. Now, what is the meaning of the word Jamil? Jamil is the one who has Jamal. What is Jamal? Jamal, generally understood as beauty, it is al-husnu fil khilqati wal khalqi. It is beauty in manner and also form. It is extreme beauty in what? In one's manner and also in their form, meaning in the way that they are. And we see that in the Arabic language, the word Jamal also signifies perfection or completion in body. Now, it's also used for fat. Okay, why? Because one of the linguists explained that when a person has eaten enough and they have fat on their body, then it means that their body has become complete. Their Jamal has become apparent. Now, we might think that that's not the case. If a person has a lot of fat on their body, then that's unhealthy. The thing is that when we think of fat, we think of obesity. This is not what Jamal is referring to. One is a person who is famished, right? They're extremely weak. They're basically skin and bones. And another is a person who has eaten enough. There's enough fat on their body, which makes their body complete. Me, and that is what reveals their beauty. So this is what Jamal is, all right? So Jamal is visible beauty, okay? It is visible beauty because it is in the appearance and also in the manner of a person, in their character and their actions, and also in their behavior. So Al-Raghib explains that Jamal is Al-Husnul Kathir. It is a lot of beauty or extreme beauty, and it is in two ways. One is the beauty that is within a person. So for example, in their body, in the way that they do certain things, in the way that they speak, that is one aspect of their beauty. But then the other aspect of their beauty is their beauty which reaches others. So it is, for example, their kind words, their kind treatment, or their generosity, the gifts that they give, right? The way that they deal with others. So Jamal is really, it is visible beauty, which is perceived, which is witnessed by others. Yani, if for example, a person is all dressed up and they're sitting at home, that's not Jamal, all right? Or for example, if a person is, you know, they claim that they're very beautiful on the inside, but their words are only ugly and hurtful, that is not Jamal. Or if a person is just, you know, looking very beautiful, but their actions are very mean, again, that is not Jamal. Jamal is what is within a person, in their form, in their appearance, in their manner, in their behavior, and also in their kindness, in their helpfulness. So it is beauty that is perceived. It is beauty that is perceived. It is not just tangible, nor is it just intangible. It is both. So this is the meaning of the word Jamal, al-husnul kathir. And al-jamil, as I mentioned earlier, is the one who is extremely beautiful. The one who is extremely beautiful. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-jamil, what does that mean? It means that He is extremely beautiful in His that, meaning in His being, in who He is. He is extremely beautiful in His asma, in all of His names. So all of His names are beautiful. In all of His sifat, all of His attributes. And also He is extremely beautiful in all of His actions, in His af'al. So when we're talking about the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, they're truly beautiful. We see that they're described as al-husna, the most excellent. So truly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is excellent. He is beautiful in all of His names, in all of His attributes. And we see that His beauty is permanent. It is perfect. So much so that the people of paradise will actually find the most joy in looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it will be the greatest enjoyment of paradise to be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be able to be with Him. This is the greatest experience, the greatest source of joy. So much so that the people of paradise, every time that they will see Allah, they will actually increase in their own beauty as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-jamil. He is truly extremely beautiful, and He is such that His actions are also beautiful. So walillahi al-asma'ul husna, all of His names are excellent, and then also His actions are excellent. His actions are only beautiful, they're only praiseworthy, for which we can only thank Him, Azza wa Jal, because He is just in what He does, He is perfect in what He does, He is free from any injustice and free from any error in every action of His. As we learn in Surah Hud, ayah 56, that inna rabbi ala siratin mustaqim, that indeed my Lord is on the straight path. What does that mean? That whatever that my Lord does is correct, it is right, it is not wrong, it is rather it is perfect, it is free from any imperfection. In Surah An-Naml, ayah 88, we learn sunna Allahi alladhi atqana kulla shay', that this is the work of Allah, meaning what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made. And how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make things? How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do things? Alladhi atqana kulla shay', the one who has perfected everything, meaning everything that he does it perfectly. So His actions are perfect. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-jamil, it also means that He is the source of all beauty. So all jamal comes from Allah. Because think about it, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created so much beauty, then how much more beautiful would He be Himself? Because the giver of beauty, yani, is beautiful in and of Himself. And this is something that we learn about. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard, that Allah is the light of the skies and the earth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, Allahumma lakal hamd, O Allah, for You is all praise. Anta nuru samawati wal ardi wa man fihin, You are the light of the heavens and the earth and whatever that is in them. So He is the source of all beauty. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-jameel, He is extremely beautiful. This means that all of His commands are also beautiful. All of His commands are also good. And He is the one who beautifies. So one of the meanings of the word jameel is mujmil, meaning He is the one who beautifies different things. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-jameel, what is it that we are supposed to do? We are supposed to first and foremost believe that He is the most beautiful. He is truly beautiful, the most beautiful in His names, in His characteristics, in His actions, in His commands, in His decrees. Yani, there is nothing about Allah except that it is beautiful, it is perfect. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-jameel, we should also realize that He is the source of all beauty. So He is the giver of beauty. Which means that if we feel that something is beautiful or someone is beautiful or I am beautiful, then don't be proud of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you. Or don't think that the beauty that people have or the beauty that is in things is because of their own power. No, the fact is that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has made them beautiful, who has given them that beauty, because He is the source of beauty, He is the giver of beauty, and He gives it to whomsoever that He wants. And this is something that we learn in the Quran in Surah An-Nahl, ayah 6, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا جَمَالٌ حِينَ تُرِيحُونَ وَحِينَ تَسْرَحُونَ, that for you is beauty in your animals even, meaning when you're looking at your animals, at the time when they are leaving for pasture, and also at the time when they're returning. So when you look at your property, right, and it is, so for example, here in this particular ayah, animals are being mentioned, cattle are mentioned, that as they're leaving, as they're going out to pasture, you know, in that big, you know, flock, as they're heading, you know, out of your sight, or they're going, so many of them, you admire their beauty, realize that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who made that scene beautiful and who made that property beautiful. He is the giver of that beauty. So whether it is your house that you're looking at, or the beautiful clothes that you've collected that you're looking at, or, you know, the different things in your house that, you know, or your certificates, your achievements, whatever it is that you admire, remember that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the source of that beauty. And we learn in the Quran that inna ja'alna ma 'ala al-ardi zinatan laha linabluwahum ayyuhum ahsanu 'amala, that it is we who have made upon the earth whatever that is upon the earth a beauty for it, meaning a means of beautification for the earth. And this is only a test of what, ayyuhum ahsanu 'amala, that who is going to do good deeds. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-jameel, this means that He loves jamal, right? As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beautiful and He loves beauty. So this means that we should be beautiful. This doesn't mean that, you know, we should become excessive and wasteful in beautifying ourselves, but that first of all, we should begin with beautifying our manners. We should begin with beautifying our character. And this includes being beautiful even when observing patience. So, فَصْبِرْ صَبْرًا جَمِيلًا. Be patient with a patience that is beautiful. Not that we are complaining and screaming and yelling and wailing, and then we say, okay, fine, I'll have some sabr. No, sabr begins from the first moment that you get hit by a calamity. And it begins from that moment onwards. So, فَصْبِرْ صَبْرًا جَمِيلًا. Beauty in patience. Also, beauty in the way that you avoid people. وَهْجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. If you must avoid them, if you must, you know, leave them. And there are different reasons for this. You know, for example, someone is not a good influence on you. or you believe that what someone is doing is wrong, what they are saying is wrong, and you have done your best to speak to them to try to convey, you know, your point of view to them, but you still disagree. So when you must disagree with them, wahjurhum hajran jamila, still leave them in a very beautiful, dignified way. Not that you storm out of the door and you are, you know, hurling insults at them, and then you're writing Facebook posts, you know, against them, and you're canceling them everywhere that you go. This is not hajran jamila. Wahjurhum hajran jamila. If you truly follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if you truly must leave some people for whatever good reason that you have, do that in a beautiful way. Even when it comes to divorce, in the Quran we're told, wasarrihuhunna sarahan jamila. If you must send them away, meaning a wife of yours, you know, you've been married to her for so long, and now you must divorce her for whatever reason, you have come to that decision, that divorce should also be sarahan jamila. So sometimes it happens that, you know, you're working somewhere and you quit, right? You are working somewhere, you have a contract with them, and now that contract is coming to an end, or you want to dissolve it. So if you must leave an organization, a workplace, or a group of people for whatever reason, even if you're very bitter inside, very hurt inside, you feel betrayed, you feel that you have not been treated properly, even then, wahjurhum hajran jamila wasarrihuhunna sarahan jamila. Leave them in a dignified way. And also when it comes to forgiving people, we learn fasfahi safha al jamil. Pardon them, forgive them in a beautiful way. Not that you say that you've forgiven them, but then every now and then you send negative messages, right? Or you badmouth them, or you speak ill of them, and you're always backbiting them no matter where you go. So فَاصْفَحِ الصَّفْحَ الْجَمِيلِ. If you've truly forgiven them, then get over it, move on. And this is something very important. You see, all of this we see in the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are descriptions, so many stories that we learn about regarding the companions. But when it comes to the enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way that they treated him, we see that all of those narrations are basically a handful, not that many. We see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent more time in Mecca than in Medina. But when it comes to the seerah, when it comes to the narrations, we have more of Medina than we have of Mecca. Why? Because in Mecca, things were very difficult. And that is the time where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was practicing sabran jamila, hajran jamila, as-safha al-jamil. And this is why we see that that's not what they spoke about all the time. In fact, Aisha radiallahu anha, she had to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that what was the most difficult day. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the incident of At-Ta'if. But our problem is that we say that we have forgiven people, we say that we have moved on from them, but we haven't truly. Which is why in every conversation, right, we go back to talking about the people that have hurt us, even if years have gone by, because the fact is that we haven't truly forgiven them. So remember that beauty is not just in the lipstick that we put on. Beauty is also in the way that we speak about people. It is also in the way that we think about people. It is also in the way that we recount things of the past. So be beautiful. And then when it comes to physical beautification, adorning ourselves, yani of course that is something permissible. The adornment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to His servants, this is not something that we're allowed to prohibit on ourselves, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ. Who dares to make unlawful the adornment, the beautification that Allah has produced for His slaves? Yani if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created beautiful things in the world, these things are for us to use, to enjoy. But then we must not think that, you know, we can use them, we can enjoy them without any limit or without any care. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also directs us in the Quran that لا تسرفوا, do not be extravagant, because extravagance is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. And israf is not just excessiveness. We think that extravagance is excessiveness, whereas that's not the only meaning. Extravagance is, first of all, that a person does what is unlawful. So for example, adorning oneself, completely permissible. But when it comes to adornment, are there any rules that we have been given? Absolutely, we have been given certain rules. So for example, when it comes to a woman, wearing perfume, perfectly fine. But wearing such perfume, the fragrance of which spreads everywhere and leaves a trail behind a woman, and then going outside or going against, amongst men, this is something that the Prophet ﷺ clearly forbade. So the wearing of perfume in and of itself is not wrong, but wearing it in such a way or in such a place where it is not appropriate, that would be wrong. Likewise, for men to adorn themselves, completely permissible. But that doesn't mean that now in the summer they're wearing shorts that are above their knees and their aura is being revealed. That is inappropriate. Or for example, getting your hair cut, making sure that your face is presentable, mashallah, excellent. But then trimming the beard to such an extent that it doesn't even look like a beard, right? Or trimming it off completely, shaving it off completely, that is clearly going against the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we shouldn't be beautifying ourselves in a way that we are opposing the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Likewise, when it comes to beautifying ourselves, we must make sure that we don't feel arrogant now, that we don't start, showing off to people, and we don't start belittling people. Because we see that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that there is no person who has even, a tiny amount of pride in their heart, if a person has even a tiny amount of pride in their heart, they will not be able to enter paradise, right? لا يدخل الجنة من في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. مثقال ذرة is an atom's weight. Any minuscule amount of arrogance, if it is in the heart of a person, they will not be able to enter paradise. So someone asked that, O Messenger of Allah, a person loves that their clothes are good and that their shoes are good. Is this part of arrogance? The Prophet ﷺ said, no. Inna Allah jamilun yuhibbul jamal. Allah is beautiful. He loves beauty. وَلَكِنَّ الْكِبْرَ بَطَرُ الْحَقِّ وَغَمْطُ النَّاسِ. Arrogance is that a person rejects the truth and that they belittle people. SubhanAllah, it's so beautiful that both of these statements come together. That a person rejects the truth and belittles people. غَمْطُ النَّاسِ. This is what arrogance is. So sometimes it happens that a person thinks that they're the best, that they are upon the truth, and what they do is that they go on belittling people. They go on treating people as if they're nothing. And literally, sometimes it feels like, I remember somebody sharing with me that they went to a particular gathering, a gathering where people were supposed to be on the ultimate truth. And she said, I went there and I felt like I was not even a human being. The way that people were speaking in such a condescending way, the way that they were looking down on her because her hijab was not massive, right? Or that she had come from a certain, school, from a certain background. The way that she was treated, she felt like I was not even worth a shoe. Just because, you feel that you are upon the haqq, you are upon, the truth, it doesn't mean that you treat people as if they are nothing. Is that how the Prophet ﷺ treated his enemies even? No, he didn't. The mushrikeen, the people who worshipped idols, look at how the Prophet ﷺ addressed them. Look at how the Prophet ﷺ interacted with them. We see in the Quran the example of so many prophets, right, where they address their nations, Ya Qawmi, O my people, Ya Qawmi, O my people. They treated them with so much respect, the way that they spoke to their people. But we think that just because we are on, the haqq that we think is the haqq, we can treat people as if they're nothing. So we come up with such derogatory labels and we call people dal, mudil, mufsid, this, that. How dare we? If this is not pride, then what is it? Yes, you should be confident of the truth. But being confident does not mean being condescending. Being confident does not mean that you go on belittling people and talking about them and treating them as if they're nothing at all, as if they're worthless. So we see that being beautiful means that we beautify our character, that while we focus on external beauty, we make the inner beauty our ultimate goal. And we learn that that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum wala ila amwalikum." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look towards your faces, toward your physical appearance, nor does He look toward your properties, meaning He doesn't care about that. "Walakin yanzuru ila qulubikum wa a'malikum." But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks towards your hearts and your actions, meaning what is it that's in your heart? Is it pride or is it humility? Is it arrogance or is it gratitude? And if you believe you are on the truth, you should be filled with gratitude. You should be filled with humility. Not that you become judgmental of people and start canceling people right, left, and center. Start treating them as if they're nothing. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks towards the state of your heart. And also He looks at your actions. That what is it that you are doing? And remember, piety is not just that you pray, as Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said about the ayah, "Laysa al-birra an tuwallu wujuhakum qibla al-mashriqi wal-maghrib." That piety is not just that you pray and you do nothing else. No, piety is that you pray, you perform the acts of worship, but then how are you treating people? How is it that you are behaving with them? That is also a part of piety, a major part of piety. So beautify yourself. In a holistic way, beautify your external and also beautify your internal. And remember that if a person's, external is just beautiful, then that is not impressive at all. In fact, we learn about the hypocrites that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them in the Quran, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ, that when you look at them, their bodies impress you. Yani their physical appearance is very pleasing. It's very impressive. And the way that they have kept themselves, their hair, their hairstyle, their skin, their clothes, everything so perfect, on point, mashallah. But إِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ. But that's it. On the inside, they're like hollow pieces of wood. And they have no faith. They have no virtue. They have no good characteristics. No ikhlas, no sincerity, no mahabba, no love, no khashya, no fear, no idz before Allah, no humility, no khushur before Allah. So the external beauty should not be our only focus. We need to focus on inner beauty as well. So remember that outer beauty, there's nothing wrong with it. But when it is with israf, where a person's entire attention and focus is on external beauty, then this is where it becomes blameworthy. Why? Because definitely focusing on it too much is going to make you neglect inner beauty. And also, focusing on external beauty too much shows that you are being too materialistic, right? That is what is more important to you. And when that becomes more important to a person, then they don't even care about what is permissible and what is not permissible, and what the repercussions are of them beautifying themselves. For example, when it comes to the makeup industry, we spend so much on makeup, but we should think about, the basic ingredients even that are used in makeup products. That how are they affecting the world? How are they affecting the people of the world, and how are they affecting the environment? So much plastic, think about it. Any one makeup product, how long are you going to use it for? 6 months maybe, right? Maximum a year. I mean, for hygienic reasons, you shouldn't be using these things for so long anyway. But then every 6 months, as you discard, as you throw away, as you replace, this means that you are producing garbage, right? That is going to damage the environment, right? Because what's going to happen to that plastic is just going to sit in landfills, right? And then think about how those ingredients are being produced. And you think about mica, you know, that glittery, that shiny stuff that basically makes your makeup products very shiny and glittery. Where is that coming from? It's little children who are working with bare hands to gather the dirt in which mica is. And these children, so many of these children actually die in that process. So many of these children actually get buried alive. So many of these children don't get paid. And even when they do get paid, that money is barely enough for them to, you know, eat food with. They don't get to go to school because of our greed, because we want cheaper products and because we want a lot of products. And we're not happy with just one layer of makeup. We want multiple layers. SubhanAllah. This must be in some kind of moderation. So there's nothing wrong with beautifying ourselves, but we must do that with consciousness that where is this stuff coming from and what is the impact of this? And what is the impact of this on my soul also? That if I'm spending hours and hours on just my physical appearance every day, every other day, then definitely that time is coming from somewhere. Something else is getting, is getting neglected. And sometimes what is being neglected is the children. Sometimes what is being neglected is the recitation of the Quran. Sometimes what is being neglected is the dhikr of Allah. I'm not saying don't beautify yourself. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves jamal. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified in this hadith that wearing nice clothes, nice shoes is not something wrong at all. This is part of beautifying yourself. And we should not prohibit the beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for ourselves. However, this must be with moderation and with consciousness that we should be careful about, what the impact of this is. And then also remember that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-jameel, He is the extremely beautiful, then it is, then we should seek beauty from Him also. And how is it that we seek beauty from Him? Because remember, He is the source of beauty. So He is the giver of beauty. So how do we seek real beauty from Him? By pleasing Him, by doing things that will bring us His approval, Azza wa Jal. We learn in the Quran that on the Day of Judgment, some people, their faces will be covered with gloom. In fact, we learn about words such as basira. Basira meaning completely contorted, yani absolutely frowning. Not just the forehead, but the entire face frowning. And we know that if a person's face is covered with makeup, but then they make that ugly face, where they're frowning, the expression is very upsetting. They don't look beautiful anymore. It is not the colors that make a person beautiful. It is what is on the inside. So there will be people on the Day of Judgment who will look extremely ugly. Why? Because they will be filled with fear and worry and regret and anger, self-loathing. They will blame themselves. It is the day when the wrongdoer, يَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ, when the wrongdoer will bite at his own hands. Own hands. Why? Out of regret. People are so particular about, their nails, their cuticles. We want to make sure our hands look perfect. SubhanAllah, but if this is coming at the cost of being able to make wudu, right? Because if you get your nails done, you get those fancy nails, acrylic nails, whatever, you're not able to make wudu then, right? If you make wudu on top of that, your wudu is not valid because a major portion of the part that needs to be washed did not actually get washed. So the wudu is not valid. So the nails are looking beautiful, okay, fine. But then what's going to become of this on the Day of Judgment? So remember that we should seek beauty from the giver of beauty. How? By obeying Him and by pleasing Him, not by disobeying Him and by going against His commands. Because if we go against His commands, then the beauty that we have right now is temporary. It is temporary. It's not going to make it to the hereafter. In fact, this body is going to rot and decay in the grave. It's going to finish. And on the Day of Judgment, people will be resurrected. How? In the very forms that they were created in. So even if a person managed to modify their body, they won't come on the Day of Judgment with all those modifications. No, their bodies will be in the original form that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them in. So seek permanent beauty from the giver of beauty. And that is by pleasing Him, by obeying Him. So use these hands, right? For what? For worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? We learned that when a person makes wudu, then this will be a source of nur for them on the Day of Judgment. But if for the sake of, you know, the makeup that we've put on, we're not making wudu. Many sisters ask me, that is it okay if I'm wearing, if I have makeup on, I just make tayammum? No, it is not correct for you to make tayammum because you have makeup on. What you're supposed to do is remove it, make wudu, and then you can put it back on. But that's the thing, because we've spent hours and hundreds of dollars on it, and you know we've gone to a wedding, then we don't want to take it off. So salah is being delayed, salah is being compromised. At what cost? Right? So remind yourself at these times that Allah is al-Jameel, and He is the source of Jamal. And I cannot be beautiful by disobeying Him. If I want real beauty, then I must seek it from Him. So we learn about the people of paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Insan, ayah 11, that وَلَقَّاهُمْ نَضْرَةً وَسُرُورًا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them delight and comfort. And nadra is basically such delight that is visible on the face of a person. And He will make them beautiful. وَجَزَاهُمْ بِمَا صَبَرُوا جَنَّةً وَحَرِيرًا, and He will reward them because of their patience with Jannah and Harir and silk. And clothes of silk, of course, you wear at a special occasion, right? Or when you can afford to wear silk every day, it shows extreme luxury. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them all of this beauty and all of this comfort. Why? Bima sabaru, because they were patient. And patience is needed to make wudu. Patience is needed to pray. Patience is needed to forgive people. Patience is needed to refrain from things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. Patience is needed, you know, when you feel that compared to other people, you might not be looking all that impressive, right? Because you have limited yourself to what is lawful, to halal. And other people don't necessarily, follow those rules that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. So sabr is needed over there. And remember that all of the sabr is not going to be wasted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give so much beauty to such servants of His. So Allah is al-Jameel. This means that we should seek beauty from Him Azza wa Jal. Now, how do we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this name? Well, there isn't any dua in which we see this name mentioned specifically, but there are definitely duas in which the meaning of this name is very, very much present. So for example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say in his sajda, all right, in salah, in his sajda, a dua at the end of which is la uhsi thana'an alayk anta kama athnayta ala nafsik, that oh Allah, I cannot praise You enough. You are as You have praised Yourself. Meaning, Ya Allah, You are so beautiful that I cannot praise You enough. You are so perfect. You are so excellent that I am unable to praise You enough. So You are as You have praised Yourself. And then another dua, this is also a part of a long dua, which is وَأَسْأَلُكَ لَذَّةَ النَّظَرِ إِلَىٰ وَجْهِكَ وَالشَّوْقَ إِلَىٰ لِقَائِكَ, that, oh Allah, I ask You for the delight of gazing upon Your face. And I ask You for the joy of meeting You. Because imagine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Jameel. How, what an experience it would be, what a joy it would be, what a pleasure it would be to be able to see Allah, to be able to look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَسْأَلُكَ لَذَّةَ النَّظَرِ إِلَىٰ وَجْهِكَ. And remember, this is the greatest ladha. This is the greatest pleasure of paradise. The greatest pleasure of paradise is not the biggest house that you can imagine, the biggest mansion. It is not, you know, the rivers of paradise or the fruits of paradise. All of those are, of course, different pleasures of paradise. But the greatest pleasure is the pleasure of looking at Allah. وَأَسْأَلُكَ لَذَّةَ النَّظَرِ إِلَىٰ وَجْهِكَ وَالشَّوْقَ إِلَىٰ لِقَائِكَ. And I ask you for the joy of meeting you. And then another dua, Allahumma ahsanta khalqi fa ahsin khuluqi. That, oh Allah, you have made my form, my physical form beautiful, so also make my character beautiful. And this is also a dua that we should be making, especially now that we know that Jamal is not just physical beauty, but it also includes internal beauty, the beauty of character, the beauty of manners. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what He appreciates in His slaves. So we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist us in that matter. The next name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will be looking at today is the name of Allah Al-Hamid. Al-Hamid meaning the one who is most praiseworthy, the one who is worthy of praise, even if people do not praise him. Why is he worthy of praise? Because he is perfect in and of himself. Why would he not be Hamid when he is Jamil? Meaning when he is so beautiful, then absolutely he is Hamid. He is praiseworthy. Now this name of Allah Al-Hamid is mentioned 17 times in the Quran. We learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَهُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدِ. In Surah Al-Hajj, that to Him belongs what is in the heavens and what is on the earth, and indeed Allah is the free of need, the praiseworthy. He owns everything, and yet He is, and He is al-ghani, He is free of any need, and He is hamid, He is perfect, He is praiseworthy because of His perfection. Now, Hamid is the one who is praised, right? The one who is praised, or the one who is worthy of praise, the one for whom hamd is done. Why? Because of who he is. So the question is, what exactly is hamd? Now, hamd is to praise the one who is worthy of praise. How? In the most beautiful, honest, loving, respectful, and thankful way. So remember, hamd is to do what? It is to praise the one who is worthy of praise. How? In which way? In a way that is beautiful, in a way that is honest. Honest as in you actually mean it. And honest as in it is correct. It is not fake praise. And then loving way, you know, with love, with respect, and with thankfulness. So it is loving, thankful praise. And we see that, you know, people praise others, and sometimes that praise is not always accurate, or that praise is not always, something that the person deserves. Why? Because they're being praised for what they don't have, or they're being praised for something that they don't really deserve to be praised for. Like, for example, if a person is being praised for their height, well, what did they do to be tall? Did they, choose their height? Yani, did they select those genes in particular? No. Yani, your physical appearance, this is something that you don't get to choose. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides for you. So, hamd is to praise someone for what they have done. To praise someone for what they have chosen to do. And it is not just thanks, but it is praise with thanks, with love, with admiration, with respect. So Hamid is the one who is worthy of praise. And Hamid is the one for whom is all praise, forever, for always, from the beginning and never ending. And praise in all states and in all matters. Meaning no matter what happens, no matter what time it is, no matter what the condition is, no matter what we're going through, no matter what is happening in the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still worthy of praise. So Ibn al-Qayyim says, about the verse Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that all praises for Allah, Lord of the Worlds, he says it means Alhamdu kulluhu lillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise in its entirety. Yani if there is any praise that is to be offered ever, who is worthy of it? It is only Allah who is truly worthy of it. Because if you think about it, even if there is a person that you praise, for instance, for a gift that they give you, someone teaches you something very nice, so you say, you praise them, right? But ultimately, praise is for who? For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if He did not send that person to you, you wouldn't have known. If He did not make you able to benefit from them, you would not have learned. If He did not give them the ability, the realization, that knowledge, they would not be able to pass it on to you. So all praise in its entirety is for who? It is for Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hamid, the one who is praiseworthy. And this is why we see that Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise to Allah who is Lord of the worlds. Yani Alhamdulillah for the fact that He created, for the fact that He commanded, for the fact that He forbade, for the fact that He created certain things, and then He changes things, and then He provides for them, and then He continues to take care of them, and then there are things that He finishes, right? Because He is the giver of life and the giver of death. And remember that Rabb is not just creator but also Mudabbir, right? The one who regulates the affairs of the creation. So Alhamdulillah in all states, because Allah is Al-Hamid, the one who is worthy of praise. So we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, Allahumma lakal hamd, O Allah, for You is all praise, because anta qayyimu samawati wal ardi wa man fihin. You are the maintainer of the skies and the earth and of whoever is within them. Walakal hamd, laka mulku samawati wal ardi wa man fihin. For You is all praise, because You own the dominion of the skies and the earth and whoever that is in them. And you think about it, there is nothing except that Allah owns it. So is He not worthy of praise? Absolutely. There is nothing that happens, no raindrop falls, and no oxygen that you breathe, no breath that you take, except that it is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is absolutely Hamid, worthy of praise. So this is why we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises Himself. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And He is praised by His slaves. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. There is nothing except that it is glorifying Allah with His praise. And for Allah is praise, لَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي الْأُولَى وَالْآخِرَةِ. For Him is praise at the beginning and at the end. Yani from the beginning to the end. Since forever and for always. This is why we learned that even in Jannah, in paradise, what are the people going to do? They're going to say, Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana lihada. All praise to Allah who guided us to this. They will say, Alhamdulillahi alladhi adhhaba anna alhazan. All praise to Allah who took away all sadness from us. So they will continue to glorify and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is Al-Hamid, He is truly praiseworthy for the fact that He alone is the Rabb, the creator, the owner, the sustainer, the provider. Alhamdulillahi alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard. All praise to Allah who has created the skies and the earth. Alhamdulillah for the fact that He has revealed books. Alhamdulillahi alladhi anzala ala 'abdihi al-kitab. All praise to Allah who revealed the book on His slave. All praise to Allah for the fact that He owns everything. Alhamdulillahi alladhi lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. And then, Alhamdulillah, all praise to Him. He is Hamid because He is one and He is unique. There is no one like Him. Wa qul alhamdulillahi alladhi lam yattakhidh walada. In Surah Al-Isra, ayah 111, that say all praise is for Allah who has not taken a child. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ. He has no partner in the dominion, meaning He alone owns everything. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِنَ الذُّلِّ. And He doesn't have a helper out of weakness, meaning He doesn't have any weakness because of which He needs helpers. No, Allah is Hamid because He is perfect. So He does not have a child. He does not have a partner and he does not need an assistant. He is perfect. He is Hamid. Now, when we look at the name Al-Hamid in the Quran, we see that the name is paired with, first of all, the name of Allah Al-Ghani. So it comes with the name Al-Ghani. So we see وَمَنْ يَشْكُرُ in Surah Luqman, ayah 12, that وَمَنْ يَشْكُرُ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. That whoever shows gratitude, then indeed he shows gratitude for the benefit of himself. And whoever is ungrateful, then indeed Allah is Ghani, he is rich, and he is Hamid, worthy of praise. Meaning even if people are ungrateful, that doesn't diminish the praise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves, because he is perfect. He doesn't become Hamid when someone praises him, Azza wa Jal. He is Hamid even if the creation does not praise him. He is Hamid because of who he is and because of what he does, because of what he has created and because of what he has legislated and because of what he has decided. He is Hamid. Allah is Ghaniyun Hamid. He doesn't depend on us. He is free of need of us. And then we see that the name of Allah, Hamid, also comes with the name Majid. Majid meaning noble. So rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu alaykum ahl al-bayti innahu hamidun majid. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hamid, Majid. So because he is so noble, because he is so great, he is also worthy of praise. And then we see the name also comes with the name Hakim. So specifically when it comes to the revelation of the Quran, لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه تنزيل من حكيم حميد. The Quran is a revelation from the one who is Hakim, who is wise and praiseworthy. So we praise him. He is worthy of praise because whatever he does is with his wisdom. Whatever he commands is with his wisdom. Whatever he decides is with his wisdom. So he is forever, for always, Hamid. And then we see that the name also comes with Al-Wali. Al-Wali meaning the friend, the supporter, the protector. In Surah Ash-Shura, ayah 28, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا قَنَطُوا وَيَنْشُرُ رَحْمَتَهُ وَهُوَ الْوَلِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. That he is the one who sends rain after people have despaired, and he spreads his mercy, and he is the protector, the praiseworthy. So we praise him. Why? Because he is the one who helps and protects his slaves, meaning it is because of his blessings that we are alive. And then we see that the name Hamid also comes with the name Aziz. Aziz as in Almighty. وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ in Surah Al-Buruj, ayah 8. Allah who is Aziz, mighty, Hamid, praiseworthy. Why is he not praiseworthy when he is Aziz? Meaning when he is almighty, all-powerful, then of course he is worthy of praise. So what should we do when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hamid? When he is Hamid, this means that we should praise him. He doesn't need our praise. He doesn't depend on our praise. We praise him for our own benefit. And we were created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And worship, we see that salah begins with what? The recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha begins with what? Praising and thanking Allah. We need to praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to practice gratitude for our own good. If we don't do it, we are the ones who suffer. So we praise him for our own benefit. And we praise him because absolutely he is worthy of it. And this means that we praise him in all of our states, meaning no matter what condition we are in, no matter what we witness, and no matter what happens, still alhamdulillah. Why? Because Allah is Hamid. Why? Because even if what we are experiencing may be difficult, Allah is Hamid. And that is the reason why, even though there is something difficult, there is still good in it. There is still good in it. You don't see it. You don't witness it. You don't realize it right now. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed is filled with goodness. Because you can only expect that from the one who is praiseworthy, from the one who is Hamid. Therefore, praise him in all your states. in all your situations, no matter what happens. And realize that the people who praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then such people are hammadun. Hammadun meaning those who praise Allah a lot. And this is a habit, right? This is a habit that if you are used to praising Allah, saying alhamdulillah, then even when you hear some bad news, the first thing that's going to come out of your mouth is going to be alhamdulillah. Why? Because you believe that Allah is good and that only good comes from Him. So the people who praise Allah in all their conditions, then we learn that such people will be the best of Allah's servants on the Day of Judgment. We learn in a hadith that khayra ibadillah the afdal, the most superior servants of Allah on the Day of Judgment will be hammadun, those who praise Allah a lot. And especially we learn in a narration about a person who loses their child, and then they praise and glorify Allah at that time. And the angels witness that, and they tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about it, about the response of the servant, that Ya Allah, your slave praised you. Your slave praised you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells His angels that build a house for my slave in paradise. And it will be called Baytul Hamd, the house of praise, meaning the house which is for the people who praise and glorify Allah. So remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to be praised. مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing that is more beloved to Allah than praise, as we learn in a hadith. And it is the best way of thanking Allah. So Allah is Hamid. What does that mean? We should praise Him. How? In every situation. And we should also show gratitude to Allah by praising Him. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Afdalu shukri alhamdulillah." The best way of showing gratitude is to say alhamdulillah. Even in loss, say alhamdulillah. We learn the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah does not bestow a blessing upon any slave, and He says alhamdulillah, except that what He gives is better than what He has received. What does this mean? This means that when you get to say alhamdulillah, then that is better than the blessing that you just enjoyed. So for example, you just had the best drink. You were extremely thirsty. You've been craving a certain drink and you have that. And as you take your first sip, you say alhamdulillah, right? That is a blessing. But you know what? What you said right now of alhamdulillah, that is actually better for you than the drink that you just had. Why? Because the drink that you just had, it went in. You swallowed it, right? And now it's gone. But when you said alhamdulillah, this phrase, as we learn, it fills the scale. This is al-baqiyatu salihah. This is the permanent good. This is the good that will remain forever. Imagine the reward. Alhamdulillah. So praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over every little and big thing. And praise Allah in every situation, even in difficulty. Because when you praise Allah, that is how you get the approval of Allah. In a hadith, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praised with the slave who eats a bite of food and praises Allah for it, or takes a sip of a drink and praises Allah for it. So that first sip of coffee, that first sip of your milkshake or your boba or whatever it is that you're drinking, alhamdulillah, at that you will earn, because of that, you earn the approval of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, how do we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this name, Al-Hamid? First of all, we see that when Allah is Al-Hamid, this means that we should be praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that we should be saying alhamdulillah. And we can say alhamdulillah in different ways. At different times, we see, for example, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, all praise to Allah, Lord of the worlds. Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal, in difficulty. Alhamdulillahi alladhi bi ni'matihi tatimmu salihat, when you receive some good news, when you accomplish something, when you reach a goal, when you complete something, then alhamdulillah alladhi bi ni'matihi tatimmu salihat. People are congratulating you. You say, all praise to Allah because of whose blessing good things are completed. Meaning we wouldn't be able to complete this, we wouldn't be able to have this without the blessing, without the gift of Allah. So alhamdulillah. So use the words of tahmid in all of your states. Make a habit to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And specifically glorify Allah when? Or praise Allah at what times? We see that in salah, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would get up from ruku'r, he would say, Allahumma rabbana lakal hamd. Because when you get up from ruku'r, you say, Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Allah has heard the one who praised him. So this is the time of praising Allah. So how did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praise Allah at that time? In different ways. One is that you simply say, Rabbana lakal hamd. Right? Or you say, Allahumma rabbana lakal hamd. Oh Allah, our Lord, for you is all praise. Or you can say, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma rabbana lakal hamd, mil as-samawati wa mil al-ardi, wa mil ama shi'ta min shay'in ba'du, ahla al-thana'i wal-majd, ahakku ma qala al-abd, wa kulluna lakal abd, Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayta, wa la mu'tiya lima mana'ta, wa la yanfa'u dhal-jad min kal-jad. And what does this mean? This means, O Allah, for you, O Allah, our Lord, for you is all praise. How much praise? The praise that will fill the skies and that will fill the earth and will fill whatever else that you will after that. Meaning if there's anything bigger than that and you know of it and you want that to be filled with praise for you, then Ya Allah, I praise you that much. You are Ahla Thana'i wal Majd. You are worthy of praise and glory. أَحَقُّ مَا قَالَ الْعَبْدِ. You are most worthy of what the slave has just said. Meaning, whatever that I have said over here, or whatever any slave has said in your praise, you are most worthy of that. You deserve that. And you are worthy of even more than that. وَكُلُّنَا لَكَ عَبْدٍ. And all of us are slaves to you. اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت. Oh Allah, there is no one who can prevent what you give. وَلَا مُعْطِيَ لِمَا مَنَعَتْ. And no one can give what you prevent. وَلَا يَنْفَعُ ذَا الْجَدِّ مِنْكَ الْجَدِّ. And the riches of a rich person cannot avail him against you. And then we see that a man once said, Allahumma rabbana wa lakal hamd, hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. He said this when he got up from ruku'r, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he praised this, and he mentioned the reward for this also. Then we see that in salah, in tashahud, right, we say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin, kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Innaka hamidun. Indeed, you, O Allah, you are hamid. Hamid as in you are worthy of praise. But then not just in salah, outside of salah also, when we eat, right? Alhamdulillah. And then, alhamdulillahi kathiran, tayyiban, mubarakan fi, ghayra makfiyin, wala muwadda'in, wala mustaghnan anhu rabbana. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say this, that all praises to Allah, praise in abundance, good and blessed, it cannot be compensated for. Meaning the favor that we have received, we can never truly compensate Allah for it, nor can it be done without. Meaning we cannot live without it, we cannot leave it, and we cannot do without it our Lord. So, learn different du'as through which we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these du'as we can say them after we eat, and also on wearing new clothes before going to sleep. Alhamdulillahilladhi kafani wa awani wa at'amani wa saqani. A long dua in this also, we're praising and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the favors that He has bestowed upon us. In the night also, Allahumma lakal hamd, anta nuru samawati wal ardi wa man fihin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say this. And then dhikr, meaning just saying alhamdulillah, and this can be after salah 33 times, alhamdulillah. And in general also saying alhamdulillah. Why? Because this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. This is something that is greatly rewardable. So make it a habit to praise Allah, to thank Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who thank Him for His blessings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who recognize His blessings, appreciate and use His blessings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to praise Him, to know Him, to learn about His names and attributes, to continue with this journey, inshallah, and also to worship Him in the most beautiful way so that He, Azza wa Jal, is pleased with us. Ameen. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. My dearest sister, beautiful lecture.